I am Plant All the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Beginning tomorrow, Friday, the 22nd of May, at BC Place Stadium, running until Sunday, is the 7th annual Eat Vancouver, the Everything Food and Cooking Festival. It is Canada's largest consumer food, cooking, and kitchen show. I'm joined now by Naz Cavallaro, grill master and spokesman for Weber Stephen Products, who will be appearing on the Food Network Celebrity Stage, along with Rob Feeney, Anthony Sedlak, and Ricardo Larrave. For more information, visit eatvancouver.com. That's eat-vancouver.com. Barbecue Naz, as he's known, has appeared on numerous programs across this country. He promotes Weber Grills, his favorite brand of barbecues. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Barbecue Naz Cavallaro. Good morning, Mr. Cavallaro.
Good morning. Great intro. I love that one.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Now, you left the restaurant scene in the late 90s, I understand. What sort of restaurants were you involved in?
I had a Mediterranean Italian concept, Trattorias, before they became very popular here in Canada. It was a very laid-back, come as you are, come and eat what I have to offer for the day atmosphere, and it was a great success because everybody didn't have to worry about, you know, what we had on the menu. It was more about come see what Naz is cooking today and enjoy in the feast, which was great and relaxing for everybody.
Now, one assumes that grilling is your favorite mode of cooking, is it?
I've gotten into grilling, from the restaurant scene. I got into more and more grilling and the whole outdoor atmosphere. Great feeling going outside, especially when it's a nice day like the days you're about to have in the next couple of days here in Vancouver. But it's a great feeling going outdoors and cooking outdoors and eating outdoors. We don't have too many great days in our year, but when it is, I like to be outside.
Now, do you grill throughout the year?
I do. I do right through wintertime, fall, winter. Right? It's four seasons. I do all four seasons grilling, and I grill different things during the four different seasons also.
You're obviously adept in grilling. I've seen you on TV make stuff on programs and the sort. You're known as a grilling expert. Does it take a while to get the nuances of it, or can we be good at grilling too, perhaps?
It's pretty straightforward and simple. It's technique and timing, using the right tools, like a thermometer. A thermometer will tell you exactly when, you know, larger cuts of proteins are cooked. And it's pretty much foolproof. We did have a challenge about 10 years ago. People were burning stuff on the grill, and through all the, you know, the new type of media, the food stations and all the morning shows bringing in food into their programming, it's become more evident that people are interested in how to grill or how to cook things properly, and you can see it as the growth of the shows get bigger and bigger every year.
You mentioned burning things. What's the biggest mistake that we make when we're grilling?
Patience. People don't have patience. They flip the food over too many times. They cook on high when you really shouldn't be cooking on high. It's the same concept or philosophy as a stove. You put a pan on the burner. You get the pan hot. Then you put oil in the pan. Wait for it all to get hot. Then you throw your food in and you kind of saute it or you sear it. Same thing with a grill. You turn your grill on. Wait for the grill to get to 500, 600 degrees. You got to get that nice hot temperature on the grids. When the grids are nice and hot, you either season the grids with a nice coating of oil or your protein. Save the oil by putting it on the protein rather than on the grids, because when you're spraying the grids or you're putting a coating of oil on the grids, you'll waste a lot of oil. And then once the food's seasoned, then you put it on the grids and get that sound. I do that well, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
that sizzle sound that's telling you that you're actually searing this food and caramelizing all these sugars and all these proteins that come out of the food. And then, you know, once you've done both sides, you seared both sides, then you would turn down the grill just like you would turn down the pan, you know, finish cooking the food. It's pretty much the same philosophy, and it's pretty simple. It really is simple. Anybody can really get become a big barbecue enthusiast.
And cleaning the grills is important.
It's very important. People always tell me, you know, I don't clean my grids. I leave them the next day and then clean them off the next day. Yeah, you know, if you have porcelain-coated grids, it might be a good idea, but I don't leave my pan dirty until the next day when I want to use it. I clean the pan right away. And it's very simple to clean your grids. I pretty much put my temperature back on high, put the lid down, go enjoy my food hot or my guests. Come back in about 10 minutes, turn off the grill, lift up the lid, let it cool down a bit, and everything on that grill on the grids will turn to an ash. Unless there's a lot of sauce, you use sauces with maybe some ribs or something that, you know, you want to put a sauce on it, has sugars on it, you might want to wipe off the excess sauce first then put the barbecue back on high. In 10 minutes, 15 minutes, like, the stuff on the top of the grids will have turned to an ash. You need a good brush, easy to clean off. If you do have porcelain that's cracked on your grids, you want to put a coating, maybe do a spray of oil on it, make sure they're nicely coated so the air and moisture doesn't get into the raw metal, and you're ready to go. It's clean. You can't cook with that carbon buildup. If you have any buildup on your grids, your food will stick, and you're going to get all these oily black marks on your food, and that's not good.
Does it matter if it's gas or charcoal?
Charcoal tends to get higher temperatures. If you charcoal, when it's nice and red and it's sparkly and popping, you're going to reach an excess of 1,200 degrees temperature-wise. On a grill, at grid level, especially on a hot grill, you can reach 700-800 degrees, plenty some to sear, but you're definitely going to have higher temperatures on a charcoal, particularly a hardwood charcoal kettle, definitely.
Now, when did the relationship with Weber start?
I started working with them about 10 years ago. Before that, after I left the restaurant scene, I got into designing kitchens, helping colleagues build up their restaurants. I opened up places for people. And then I took off to Italy, and I saw a whole new world of, you know, fresh foods and people using the outdoor cooking with wood. Come back into Canada, and I looked into, you know, maybe getting into the grill scene, working with people in the grill scene, and ended up working up with this company here, and it's been a great relationship since then.
And you own how many barbecues?
I have quite a few of them. I have about 12 grills at the moment.
Really?
Yeah, I have a few that I take on the road in the garage that I leave there throughout the four months of going out to do shows, but I have 12 in the backyard, some kettles, some smokers, different grills, different size grills. On one of my grills, I have four side burners. I have, like, just burners on top of a cart model of a grill. I took the box out and put burners across just so I can do everything outdoors. I keep all my food, my odors, my heat, all outdoors, especially if I want to do some frying, you know, do some appetizers on a deep fryer. I take that outside. If I want to do curry or seafood or fish, I take it all outside. The dirt stays outside, heat stays outside.
Are there barbecues that one can have indoors?
There are some grills that, or boilers as they call them, indoors. You need a fan, definitely. It has to be. You can't bring your barbecue or your gas grill inside.
No.
They are, you know, built-in models or the drop-in models. Maybe some ranges have some section, maybe an 8-foot area or 8-inch area with some grids on it. You got to have the proper ventilation. And you'll definitely get excess smoke and grease going into your cabinets. That's why I like to take it always outside. There's electric grills now. There's a huge selection of electric grills in the market. We have an electric grill in the stateside. It's probably going to end up coming here next year, you know, with all the different approvals the Canadian Standards Association has. But you can grill indoors. You just have to have the proper ventilation for it and always be safe.
And there are Weber grills that are for every price range, so if you just want something simple for the backyard, you can get something.
Yeah, we have small grills at the our Weber Q selection, 100, 200, and 300 series, at $179, $189 price point for a carry portable grill that you can take with you also to a picnic, but you can also use it in your backyard with a fold-out cart that range right up to $3,300, $3,500 on a gas grill, large grill with all the bells and whistles, lights, sear station, smoker boxes included, smoker burners, rotisserie. You're paying for it. The great thing about Weber is that you don't get less because you want to spend less. The engine of the grill, the burners, the quality of the material they use is the same right throughout the whole lineup. You're paying for chrome rims, leather seats, power roof like you would in a car. You pay for that in a grill. You pay for the side burner, you pay for the rear burner, rotisserie, you pay for a large grill, you pay for the stainless. You definitely pay for stainless. Stainless is a very expensive metal nowadays, but you're paying for that. But the grill, the engine, is the same right throughout the whole lineup.
Smokers, is that very popular nowadays?
It's becoming more and more popular every year. The more we use them, the more we show people how to use them and how easy they are to use. Once they get into the habit of setting it up and setting it, you know, we incorporate a thermometer, a probe thermometer that sits on the smoker, and then you have a little pager on your belt that tells you, you know, the temperature as it's going up and tells you when it's 5 degrees before it's ready. It actually speaks to you, these audible ones. It's becoming simpler and more convenient, slows people down by, you know, using smokers. It also makes less tender cuts like a pork butt or a shoulder or a brisket, you know, make those things taste tender and helps make them, it just makes them flavorful. It's easy to do. It slows people down. It takes a little longer to do it low and slow, but it's definitely become more popular, absolutely.
When it comes to ribs, do you have a preference, beef or pork?
Both ways are pretty good. I like my baby back ribs. I do definitely do a low and slow cooking with them. I like them a dry rub on them. I don't put too much sauces on my ribs. I like them, you know, just a dry rub, and then let them low and slow cook to the point where the meat is just about to come off the bone. You don't want to have it fall off the bone. It's, you know, I want some texture in my mouth. I want some, you know. But definitely I enjoy my baby back pork ribs, definitely. You can do great things with beef ribs also, but pork is definitely up on top shelf for me.
Can you actually cook a cake on a grill?
You can do some baking or do some indirect cooking, as we call it, and turn your grill, your gas grill, into a somewhat of an oven. If you have multiple burners on your grill, let's say you had a three-burner system, we turn off our middle burner and leave the front and the rear burner on, and you put your food directly above the burner that's off. Or if you have a left and a right side burner, turn one side of your grill off, one side on. You put your baking pan or your cookie sheets or whatever you're planning on doing. I do a phenomenal cheesecake on my grill, and I put it on the side that's off. You put the lid down, and the hot air gets pushed. If it's a three-burner front to back, rotating in a circular motion, if it's a left and right burner system, the right side will push the heat and create a circular motion inside the chamber, giving you indirect cooking, which means you're going to get a convectional oven method in your barbecue. You might want, if you're doing a pizza, you might want to rotate the pizza every, you know, 2 minutes, and just make sure that, you know, anything that's closer to the burner is definitely going to cook a little faster. But if you set up the larger grills are fantastic and easy to do. If I have a six burner system, I just put my furthest left burner on, my furthest right burner off, are on, and the middle ones, all four in the middle, are off. So you're getting beautiful, even cooking throughout the whole chamber. So your cake raises more evenly because there's even temperature around the whole thing.
And the taste is the same as if it came out
of the oven? Yeah, you definitely want to make sure you do it at the beginning. You don't want to, you know, after you cook your fish or your steaks and then go put your cake on there. I usually do, if I'm doing desserts, it's a great opportunity for me to take apart the grill very quickly to clean any excess buildup on the grill, or clean my flavorizer bars, take them off, soap and water, wash them, put them back in. You want to make sure your heat medium, the heat medium's that layer of either metal or briquettes that's sitting just above your burners, and that creates heat that helps distribute the heat for you evenly. The juices from a food hit the heat source, vaporize and make smoke, giving you smoke flavors in your food. That's where it all comes from. You want to make sure that heat medium is clean properly so you don't get the excess burn. You don't get any smoke coming or black smoke from yesterday's food going into your food. I do the cheesecake, as I mentioned to you, I do a cheesecake. I do a cheesecake in there. I put a smoker box. I fill it up with some apple chips in there. Give me a nice woody flavor, a light woody flavor, something a little bit more delicate wood, like alder or apple. I put that in there, and it gives me a nice taste of my cheesecake. And it's very simple. Just do it beforehand, and then you can do your grilling and put your cake aside, let it cool down until dessert time comes around, and you do the rest of your grilling throughout the day.
Do you enjoy coming to Eat Vancouver?
I think it's a great show, and it brings people together. Food always brings people together, and Eat Vancouver is a great collection of people in and around the Vancouver city and around the surrounding areas. They come together, they show what's available out there, teach people. The great thing is that it teaches people about food, the different things you can do with food, how important food is in our lives. It's about survival, and they're all having a great time, and that's what we need more of. We need good times.
Naz, it's been a pleasure having you on the program.
It's been great.
We'll see you this weekend.
Please, enjoy it.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Eat Vancouver runs from tomorrow, Friday the 29th, through to Sunday at BC Place Stadium. Go see Naz on the Food Network Celebrity Stage, as well as Rob Feeney, Anthony Sedlak, and Ricardo Larrave. I hope I got that right. He's on the program next week, so I better make sure I get that right. Weber.com for more information. Barbecue Naz Cavallaro on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.